Hello, Terri-Anne and everyone in podcast land.
Hi, Eloise, and hello, everyone. Welcome to another week.
It rolls around.
Dose of truth. Pardon me?
It rolls around so quick.
It actually does. And, you know, what I find interesting is how many millions of questions I get about tarot privately and the future and, you know, all of this stuff. And yet, you know, here we have so much information for people readily available. So I encourage you to go back through a lot of our podcasts and study them. They're just filled with, you know, a lifetime's worth. So I started reading tarot when I was 11 years old. And, you know, that's decades ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I probably wasn't born then.
You weren't born. No, you weren't. So, and, you know, and online, there's so many people dealing with tarot. And of course, our work. So, you know, it's really to your advantage to ask us questions here. And, you know, kind of support the energy of what we're doing. You know, I'm asked constantly, privately, but, you know, we need that support and energy to come back to us, which leads me into one of the things that, you know, I often find that people have difficulty with, and that can be, you know, before they even start to do the tarot, they have all these preconceived ideas about how it works, and then get into this mishmash of, you know, telling people what to do rather than looking for what are the cards evoking from the reader who's got information about the tarot, and then their intuition might come in supporting the other person to see that this is not a process of horizontal time. You know, it's horizontal time is part of what the tarot is doing. Let's say I have, you know, terrible karma from the past lifetime. It's going to show itself in horizontal time. Right? If I'm, you know, in some kind of insanity in my mind, and I bring this up because we're in Mercury in retrograde, and I cannot tell you how many hours I've been working on emails for people whose minds have, you know, gone off the rails a bit. And, you know, how do you support someone like that? And you're not quite grounded in your work.
Yeah.
So understanding this isn't about resolving or making your future expectations better. It's not.
Yeah.
Like if I could do that, if I go, okay, I want my life to go like this, let me read the tarot so I can get all these things I want. Well, for goodness sake, we would have figured that out a long time ago.
We'd won the lottery by now.
But we know the complexity of what's going on in the tarot has nothing to do with getting what you want or getting what you expect. Maybe you can shift things within yourself so that your linear horizontal time becomes better. Yes. So if I believe that my neighbor's energy is impacting me, but I never see him. I don't even know when he's home, but I sit in my home and I think his energy is impacting me. that doesn't have much to do with my neighbor. Now, this can become a very complex subject, but, you know, most of the time, I would say that it is our own stuff that is bothering us.
Yeah.
I know that's a very strong thing to say, because there are incidences of, you know, energies that can influence us. But if we're all freaked out about it, rather than sitting down going, let me just take some practical action to deal with this. Maybe I just move. You know, maybe I do some energy clearing. And, you know, that's not like rocket science or anything. It's not like you have to do surgery on your own leg. You're sitting around going, okay, I feel some difficult energy. Let me go deal with it. What I find usually happens is people say, well, I dealt with the energy, but it's still there. Okay, so it's still there. But did you notice a shift or a difference in something that you've done? And we're so set in our heads because, let's say, we need it as an excuse for not living our lives or some demonstration of what's going on. That's where you would use the tarot to find out, you know, what is going on with you. Now, if nothing is going on with you, you're absolutely fine. The cards just go, no, you're fine. Well, then, you know, there's some energy there. Then you figure out how to deal with it. Right? Clearing, cleansing, feng shui. There's so many methodologies to use. Now, you can go out and ask people to come in and do it, or you can, you know, start doing some of it yourself. You can get, you know, readings to have suggestions, etc. That's fine. And you should notice that it does some form of clearing. Now, if you're home, if somebody comes in and asks for a reading and their home is possessed or they know it's possessed, move. Well, really, I mean, at some point you have to take a practical action. I've seen people, you know, for a decade trying to clear a home. And if it is actually, because, you know, when I'm doing a tarot reading, I can see whether it's them or it's the house.
Yeah.
If it's the house, move. Yeah. Burn it to the ground. You know, there are really some difficult things you'd have to do to clear a home. What if it's on a cemetery? What if it's on, you know, some dead bodies? Well, what are you going to do about that? Move.
Yeah, just laying on it and channeling it into your house.
Yeah, but once you see somebody budding, you know, but I can't move, but I can't do this, but I can't do that, but I can't. There's another problem going on. Because usually when somebody has a problem in their home and it needs to be cleared, let's say they hire someone to come in, they notice a difference.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it clears everything in one fell swoop, but you notice a difference. Right? Like if I'm living in Europe, I'm going to get a stronger sense of what's going on, like just being on European soil is, even though there were, you know, civil wars here and slaughters, and it's definitely not like Europe. So yeah, sure, there's going to be a difference.
Yeah.
But if you're obsessed by it, you know, get yourself to a space where you want to live. That, you know, we usually want something that fulfills all of our expectations. And sorry, you know what? Sorry, you can't have it. You know, this is a strange thing, but we can't. You can't just have what you want, when you want, in the way you want it, 100%. It just doesn't work. Life is that way. You know, if you go back to our talk on Cain and Abel, Adam and Eve, there's always a snake in the garden.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to contemplate, why is there a snake in the garden? Well, it's got to show you something. Like, I would say today and last week, the podcast was The Snake in My Garden.
Yeah.
Well, so when I look around, I go, well, that snake is going to wake me up, right? And it wakes me up to, well, we've been doing a lot of things around tarot, and it's pulling my energy everywhere. So the podcast comes up, and, you know, people aren't giving their feedback here, they're writing privately, or they're going all over the place, and emails, and this and that. And meanwhile, it's like, well, you know what, you're going to have to write, or on the podcast, you're going to have to ask questions there.
Hmm.
You know what, if you want to come on the podcast and ask me questions, I'm happy to do it.
Yay.
Come on, you know, join us. This is going to be an advantage to more people. And then I will be pulled into a million different directions. I don't want to be. Now, I can't have everything the way I want it, but at the minimum, I can have my own personal agency to say, hey, I'm not doing that. Come and do it here. And if you're not willing to do it here, maybe you're just not willing to get the work. Maybe something else is going on with you.
Mm.
Right? Because then, yep. You know, when we have a codependency, what ends up happening is everybody can ask me for things and I just start serving them. Then I, you know, get a disease and die. Right.
Right.
and a lot of people don't realize that, yeah. You know, your parameters are very healthy. So this is very important for tarot, that you know your parameters are healthy. You know, in so many different practitioner environments, our parameters actually support us. So if I know when I'm reading tarot, I need to, you know, do the meditation that I give in classes where you anchor yourself and you come to a place where you're in a space that you're not influencing the reading, that you read, yes, intuitively, but you need to know what the cards mean. You need to know how your intuition directs you to a particular statement or what you need to say, and be able to state that clearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you have parameters for yourself. Really, really important. And the beginning of tarot, the parameters are, you know, getting to know each card, getting to know what they're about. So you can take a course. I've given so much information on cards here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not necessarily going to teach you everything, but if you go and listen to everything, you might just learn more about tarot than you had actually expected, right?
Yeah.
So, some of the troubles people get into. We're going to probably do a little series on this, but yeah. Today it's the biggest trouble is, well, one, not being objective, right? So buying into the querent's own obsessions. You got to read objectively.
Yeah.
So somebody has a house that's haunted or believes certain things. You know, a lot of people diagnose themselves with things that we can't validate. Right? So they'll seek, you know, readers, energy workers to validate it for them. And it doesn't do them any service.
Hmm.
It does them a disservice, actually. Right, like Kundalini rising, ghosts, I see auras, I see this, I see that, and your reader validates that for you, it could actually cause you more harm than good. You know, I used to do psychometry, but I would read past lives from them. And for me, getting a past life, and I just understood this naturally, but I had to learn a big lesson on this. I I would see a past life for myself, and it would unravel some contortions in my body. And I noticed my life would get better the moment I saw that past life.
Mm.
But then when I was doing psychometry, it became quite popular with people. So people were sending me lots and lots of people. So I was just reading past life after past life. And then, you know, all of a sudden I got stressed. And someone said to me, read more, tell me more. And I read, what's going on? Why do you need to need more? I mean, just one is so powerful to unravel some of the, you know, contractions in the body, etc. Then I noticed people would come back and tell me, you told me this past life, and now I understand why I'm like this. It's all because of the past life. So, you know, I'm never going to get out of this because I, and I went, what?
Oh.
What are you doing? The past life is not something to attach to. It's to feel into your body. But I didn't understand that at the time. I just did it so naturally within myself when I saw my own past life that I didn't realize others didn't come from the same place. So that's really important to know, is that when you see something, you know, allowing your querent to really notice how that impacts them. You know, what is going on? Let's say you get the priestess and it says, you know, it's showing that now your priestess is rising. So what does that evoke for the querent? Now, I've had some querents say to me, oh, yes, I am the priestess. I didn't tell you, but I am a tarot reader as well. And let me now tell you what I see for you. And I'm like, whoa.
Okay.
That didn't evoke anything internally. It evoked the ego. And yeah. oftentimes they were so forceful with it, that they would turn around and say, let me read you. And I'd be like, you know, this is your 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, do what you want. And it was very hard to kind of say, well, that's great. You're a reader. It's fantastic. This is your reading. But they really wanted to do my reading for me, which was just ultimately so bizarre.
Yeah.
And well, you know, when the ego is that strong, so to me, a high ego like that, it actually meant you need to listen to your priestess. You need to go in and have a greater awareness of what is going on inside you, you know, how your intuition works. Because the opposite, let's say, of the priestess would be, you know, the mind. That kind of covers the priestess. So you get a sword card as the opposition. So usually I would see many swords and then the priestess. Well, that's clear. You're listening to your mind. You're not listening to your intuition. But sometimes the person flipped it around and said, oh, yes, I know what I'm talking about because my intuition tells me so. And I'm like, really? Okay. And they would do the reading, and it was always some kind of obscure, you know, I see this woman with blue eyes, you know, bringing you a message, and I'd be like, okay, here we go, you know, and I'd keep it with a grain of salt, and I'd say, well, let's see, maybe they are, maybe I'm totally wrong, maybe my intuition is not working for me, maybe I have no idea what I'm doing, and of course, you know, that reading was in the early 2000s, and it has not come to pass.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, you know, that's fine. So we are looking at anchoring our reading with the meaning of the cards, not flying off into, I would say, imagination.
Yeah.
And that's a hard one to discern for people, what imagination and intuition is. So let me talk about intuition for a few moments. And this is only something you can discover for yourself. I am going to give you my sense of what my intuition's like. So I, you know, when I have an intuition, the way she speaks is she likely stops me in my tracks. So yeah. she speaks very strongly. And I just feel this energy of boom, or, you know, it's really strong energy. And then, you know, that lets me know something is going on. I find that most people tell me, oh, I should have listened to my intuition. And that's a very strong statement, because the moment something they intuited, and I've done the same, and then the future comes in, and then you go, I knew it. But to me, at the time, you didn't really know it. You just felt something.
Yeah.
So often people say, my intuition speaks with words. I'm like, really? Mine doesn't.
No, mine doesn't.
I just, to me, words is from the brain, which, you know, when I look at tarot and I look at many different systems, you know, the mind is different. So, you know, I think what I notice that is unanchored is people conflate intuition with the mind.
Yes.
So that makes absolutely no sense. So when I see readers, and there are not many of them out there that I've seen that gain any kind of popularity, etc. That, you know, I've seen quite a few online, and, you know, people are quite bright out there, and meaning there's intuition, they know their cards, they have a particular, sometimes forte, that they express. You know, and it's rather nice to watch them. And then there's some, you know, that start to do this kind of thing, like usually it's an advertising methodology where, oh, you know, you've given me your date of birth and you've given me your name, and now I know, you know, how magical, and I have wonderful things to tell you about your future. This is all ridiculous. No, I saw one that was very complex, very sophisticated website. Someone sent me, and, you know, all of this, and this person was asking me whether this was legit or not. And I just thought, where's the discernment? You know, this is advertising.
Yeah.
This is like Tide cleans out all stains. Right. Or I remember when I was a little kid, you know, when you saw a toy on TV and it just, they've animated it and it's incredible. And then you get the toy and it doesn't do, you know, what it did on the television. So you learned at a really young age, that's ridiculous. So somehow, you know, the mind is in the way when it comes to these sorts of things. There are plenty of people on there that are clear and good at what they do, you know? Everyone has a different forte. I have a different way of perceiving things. I have a different focus, let's say, than another reader. But ultimately, I get what they're talking about. I learn something from what they're saying, or I see their perspective, and I find it fun and interesting to see someone else's perspective. But if I go in and I see someone who has taken the cards and now gone in a direction that makes no sense with the cards, it's like reading, to me, it's like reading you read these words, my name is Terry Ann. And someone walks in and says, oh, so your name is Ann Terry. No, it's Terry Ann. Okay, Ann Terry. I don't know how many times I write to people my, you know, Terry Ann, and they'll call me Terry. You know, it's just bizarre. You know, and it's just really bizarre. My name's not Terry. Or I don't want to be called Terry. But it's a constant, you know, insistent that I'll abbreviate your name, despite how you want to be named.
Yeah, people, you know, do
as well. It's like, they can't see that that's the name you used. Not that it doesn't matter, but it's just a bizarre kind of notion. It's like, what world do you live in? So it's the same for me if I look at a tarot card. So one of the things I do in class is I ask for the major arcana, I ask the student to give me one word to represent that card, or maybe a couple of words, single words, to represent the card. I don't do that with the minors. It's a whole different ball game. But with the majors, I ask for a single word. And, you know, every single person in class comes up with their own word. Then we start to explore the traditional meaning. And each person can then understand how that particular word that was evoked from the card can be explained through the card. Now, when do I think doesn't make sense? Well, if we go to the minor arcana to make it really simple, the Ace of Wands is the beginning, the start of something fiery. Let's say creativity, can be sexuality, that kind of thing. And the Ace of Swords, swords is air, which is mind, and the ace is beginning. What often happens is because the Ace of Swords is an idea, what will get translated to the Ace of Batons is, oh, an idea is coming. No, it's not. You've now diluted the meaning of the card. Now you've got two cards that mean exactly the same thing to you. Oh, I've got an idea in the batons, and oh, I've got an idea in the swords.
Hmm.
And that conflation loses the quality, and of course you're not reading what is there. So I use the name example, but here it's the same thing. Ace of Wands, Ace of Swords. Well, it's the same thing, isn't it? I've got an idea. No, it's not. Idea is in the mind. What is batons? And I often mention, I find batons, fire, one of the hardest suits to work with. Yeah. Because, and it is the one, Ace of Cups, people don't say, I have an idea. They just don't do it. They don't do it. Ace of Coins, they don't say, I've got an idea. They usually go straight into Ace of Coins is, you know, something starting in the physical world. They usually do that immediately. Cups, they usually say something emotional or love beginning. They'll do that quite readily, even absolute beginners. But when it comes to the swords and batons, they get mixed up. And I understand. I understand why they do. Batons, I have found, as a very difficult suit to work with. Because most of us talk about our feelings, we don't feel our feelings.
Oh, yes, true.
Right? So we can't tell what fire is. We can't, I mean, artists might. I find artists able to give greater descriptors to that Ace of Fire. They'll say it's a spark in me. It's an urge in me. But those of us who aren't basically artists, we often, you know, ignore that. We don't know what that spark is. We don't know what that moment of fire is. We just kind of dilute it and put it straight into the swords. So it's very interesting to sit with your cards in that way, so that you're understanding what the meanings are. Another aspect that I use when beginning the tarot is to look at the four elements and see how those four elements interact. Like, what does air do to fire? You know, it's paradoxical. It's very paradoxical. A little bit of air can encourage the fire. Too much air can put it out. Oh, interesting, right? Mm-hmm. What does water do to fire? You could calm it down or put it out. Right? Yeah. You could sprinkle some water. It's going to reduce the fire. You can put a ton of water and it's going to put it out.
Yeah.
What about earth and fire?
Well, the earth can put the fire out if there's not much fire. But the fire can burn the earth.
Yeah. And also you can control the fire a bit by putting, you know, when you make a pit and you make sure that there's earth around and not, you know, paper or bush or.
That makes it work.
Yeah, so it's you could sit around and play with that. You know, so really having this capacity to differentiate between the cards, and once that occurs, then your intuition will tell you where to go. So this is a huge part of the way I teach, and that is that when I look at a card, I know it has many, many different readings in it that are specific to that card, though it does have many variations, just like we brought up. So let's say it's an earth and an air, ace of coins with, no, let's do fire, sorry. Ace of batons with ace of coins. So you can get many different readings. You can figure out how the earth will impact the fire, how the fire will impact the earth, and how they relate together. Huge exercise. Now, when I'm doing a reading, all of a sudden I notice in all of these meanings what stands out to me. And that's when my intuition speaks and says, it's this. Like I can... Well, people don't readily know this, but when you have all this information and you understand it in your left brain, all that knowledge about those two cards, you have a ton of it. You're not going to use all of it in a single reading, but all of a sudden the intuition, it's like it scrolls through all those meanings and it stops at one of them. And it does it without even your consciousness.
Yeah.
You're not aware. It's just all of a sudden it pops up and you go, oh, yeah. But it can't pop up till you know the interactions between the cards, or you know what this card can mean.
You have to have the left brain knowledge for the intuition to come.
You do. Otherwise, it just flies all over the place. You know, I've seen readers who just look at the images of the cards and start talking about the images, and then... It doesn't often feel right to me.
Yeah.
And why do I say that? Because I come by, let's say, when I have students in class, and I'll go by and they'll start talking. And I'm like, well, first of all, a card doesn't hold that meaning. And I don't say that that's wrong, but that card doesn't hold the meaning. It's another card that holds that meaning. You can't have two cards holding the exact same meaning.
Yes.
So then to me, I'm now extracting, let's say I've got a card that doesn't hold that meaning, and the card that does hold the meaning is missing from the reading. Well, then now I've gone off somewhere and I'm not anchored.
Yeah.
I need to. So one of the things I do with students is they'll give a reading. And to me, it's absolutely fine. But I ask them to then give me the proof that what they extracted from the reading is correct. And they can do it. They can backtrack and go, oh, I read this because in this card is this. I read all of that because in this card is that. And when they work together, they can do it easily. Yeah. Easily. But if they've extracted a meaning from a card that belongs to another card, they can't backtrack.
Yeah.
They'll look at the card and say, oh dear, that's not in there. Where did I get that? Yeah, I got it from my imagination. So that's when it feels wrong. It doesn't just feel wrong to me. I just, you know what? Because I know the cards so well, And if different people read, I can understand what they extracted. Even if it's something I don't read, I can go, yeah. I see that. But when I go by a student who has extracted meanings that are not from those cards, it's just like, you know, watch Dick and Jane run, watch Spot play ball. You know, you read those words literally and somebody says, watch Spot and, you know, Susie run. Susie's playing with Spot's ball. Jack died. You know, it's like, no, that's not in there. That's not in there at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really having a relationship with the cards. You can use your knowledge, but it should in some way have a relationship to that card and not be related to another card.
Yeah, it's got to be anchored in that one somehow.
Exactly. You can't say two cards have the same meaning.
Yeah, otherwise it defeats the object of having them all.
Exactly. And the nuances between synonyms can vary for the cards, just like the Two of Coins is often written as change and death is transformation.
Yeah.
Well, they're very different things.
Yeah, totally.
But oftentimes people put them together and just make them synonymous. So they'll see the death card and say, oh, you're going to go through a change. No, you're not. It's a transformation on the vertical.
I mean, you could change your clothes, but that's not a transformation.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, if you see death next to the job, that would be a huge transformation in the individual. They might be shifting careers completely.
Yeah.
You know, but if you just get a change card on the question, what about my job? Well, there's going to be a change, which could be a promotion or a lateral move, right? Yeah. It's not, it's a change, but it's just not on the vertical or, you know, one of these transformations.
Yeah.
So these subtleties support reading the deck.
Yeah.
Not reading the deck. These subtle differences between words, because they are actually represented in the cards, are not to be conflated. Mm. So you just got to put your thinking cap on. Even if you get a deck with the words written on the cards, you can really see all the differences.
Yeah.
You know, and you begin to explore it that way. So that would be a nice starting point.
Yeah.
For those difficulties that people run into when it comes to reading the cards, assuming what someone else is saying or doing. I know I went all over the board, but maybe we'll get, we'll get some replies and questions.
Yeah. Send us your questions, all your thoughts, and we'll continue next time.
Yes. Thank you, as always, Eloise. You're so patient with me.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for your wisdom. I love learning tarot off you. It's so simple. and complex at the same time.
Yes.
Perfect. Right, everyone, we will see you next week. Take care.
Bye.